From Georgia Public Broadcasting, this is On Second Thought. I'm Virginia Prescott. GPB's A Seat at the Table is a rare and welcome program. Three African-American women talking unscripted about their lives. This weekend show pays tribute to Black fathers. Hosts Deneen Milner, Monica Pearson, and Christine White confront the popular myth of the absent Black father. It's an old saw we've seen several times on movies and TV shows. Here's a clip from The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Now, you know what, Uncle Phil? I'm gonna get through college without him. I'm gonna get a great job without him. I'm gonna marry me a beautiful honey, and I'm gonna have me a whole bunch of kids. I'm gonna be a better father than he ever was. And I sure as hell don't need him for that, because ain't a damn thing he could ever teach me about how to love my kids.
Montel Jordan and activist Mansa Bilal Mark King also take a seat at the table with Deneen, Monica, and Christine this Sunday evening. But we are getting a little bit of a preview first. Welcome, ladies.
Thank you.
Well, you know, this is radio. Our table is not as good looking as yours, unfortunately. But we want to dig in. Target has pulled its baby daddy greeting cards off the shelves after public outcry. The card depicted an African-American woman and man on its cover. Now, this was called on Twitter and many other places an insult to Black fathers, a slap in the face to the African-American community. How did Target get it so wrong?
Because they probably don't have anyone on their staff who is of color who would review a card like that. It shows there's not enough diversity in their workplace. And if there were Black people there who didn't speak up, then they need to have their heads examined.
Well, this is a 2013 CDC study found that Black men are more likely to be involved in their children's lives compared with white men. So why do you think this stereotype about African, you know, the absent Black father, why is that so persistent?
Well, you know, it has historical roots. I mean, there are always ways that the media finds to dehumanize Black men and Black women. And this is just sort of one of those ways. And, you know, there have been excuses for why Black fathers should not be in the home, could not be in the home. But we know that historically, from slavery through Jim Crow, through the early 80s and 90s, there has been government intervention between and among families. And of course, you know, the Monahan Report, which came out in the 50s or the 60s, spoke to the idea that Black men were not at home, that Black women were subjugating their men. And this was just another way to make a statement about why Black people are not contributing to society. So I really think that it has been multiple efforts from government to media to politics that have really just sort of created this image that Black men are not supposed to be there for their kids.
But I think our community plays into it, too.
Like, oh, yeah.
You know, when Father's Day comes, the first thing that happens when I post something about my dad, 40 people will jump onto my blog or jump onto my Facebook page and act as if I've slapped them in the face for saying that my dad is involved.
Really?
Or that my dad, oh, my goodness. It's horrible. It is really a mess.
Well, that's interesting. You know, Father's Day has always been kind of like the Hanukkah to Mother's Day.
Right.
The second fiddle. But, you know, I want to talk to you about your experiences with your fathers. Here's a little bit of a clip from the show coming up on Sunday where you talk about that.
My mom always said my dad was a horrible husband, great father.
It wasn't the finances that I missed. It was his presence.
Blood doesn't matter, that it is a connection, a bond. My parents, so you guys know my story. I was left on a stoop and, you know, 4 days later, my family found me. But my dad is the one who tells me the story of going, wanting a daughter.
So that's the last voice there, Deneen Milner. Deneen, you were adopted, so you always knew you were wanted. You were sought out. What did that bond do for you with your dad?
Oh, my God. It's like I'm not supposed to be crying, but just hearing that made tears come to my eyes. My father is just everything. He is my best friend. He's a confidant. He inspires me. He, you know, still gets on me when he thinks I can be better. And when daddy says, take off, I fly. You know, that's the way that it's always been. You know, he's the one who went looking for a little girl. He's the one who found me in that crib in the basement in the dark. And he's the one who picked me up and put me in his arms. And he has not let go. He's 83 years old. I'm almost 50. And when I'm around him, I still feel like a little girl.
Now, Monica, you say you do not have a close relationship with your father, and you make a connection between his absence and how you felt valued, which I think any child would feel. But do you think that's more acute in the Black community?
No, I don't think it's more acute in the Black community, because I've worked with a group called Fatherless Daughters with Dina Babel, and she's white. And she talks about the loss she felt, realizing that the one who gives you life walks away from you, so you always question your value. I had a very strong and supportive mother, but I think having a good dad, as Deneen did, also helps you determine how you should be treated by men. Because when your father adores you and puts you on a pedestal, then you know you are special and you don't take anything from anybody. But when you're not sure, because you don't have that support, you don't have that example, you kind of have to figure it out for yourself, which is really not good. That's the reason why when I divorced my daughter, I insisted we have joint custody, because I wanted Claire to be a daddy's girl. Mm. And she is, to my joy. And, you know, she's 37, not married yet, because she hasn't found, as our line is, someone who treats you as good at or better than your daddy.
Well, you know, but it can also have the other effect that no one ever measures up to your dad. Mm. You're always looking for this kind of, you know, shining knight or something like that.
Oh, no, he's not a shining knight. She sees that side of him, too. She knows exactly what she needs and wants. She doesn't take any stuff.
Well, Christine, as you point out, there's a difference in being a good husband and a good father. But we do live in an age when intact families not the norm. Do we need to update our thinking and speaking about what a father is?
Yeah, I mean, I think that the idea that you cannot be a good father without being present in the home is just one of those sort of old-time traditional ideas that have really shaped the way we see Black fathers in particular. And, you know, there's so many reasons why we've had issues with relationships. But I do know that being a dad is just one of those things that Black men have, all the Black men I've known have taken so seriously, regardless of their relationship with the mother.
Well, you got to speak to one of them, the mega-selling R&B star and now pastor Montel Jordan. Here he is on your show speaking about what being a father means for him.
People will see me with my arm around my son. I kiss my son. I tuck my son. We have conversations before I put him to bed every night. And people may think, well, he's 14. Why would you do that? And the reality of it is, fathering is an ongoing thing. And so the reason why I am affectionate and intimate with my son is because I want him to know what proper male physical contact is supposed to feel like.
That's Montel Jordan from A Seat at the Table. My guests today are the hosts of A Seat at the Table, Christine White, Monica Pearson, and Deneen Milner. Well, so Montel Jordan is in his 40s. I mean, we've got plenty of images and advertising now of involved fathers. But the reality, or at least the perception, is that many 20th century fathers were not warm and fuzzy. So do you think that fathers showing affection is a generational thing?
I don't know. I really don't. I'm thinking about the men in my life who were friends of my dad's, and they were all very affectionate people. I think there's a difference between what actually happens behind closed doors in people's homes versus the kind of media image that we had of this Harriet and, you know, what's the name of that show?
Ozzie and Harriet.
The Leave It to Beaver dad who comes in, has a cigar, and is waited on hand and foot, and the kids are her responsibility. That's just never been my reality. You know, just like Christine said, even if the father was not in the home or married to the mother, there was always in my world, in my community, a complete, you know, world of Black fathers who cared not only for their own children, but for the other children in the neighborhood, in the church. You could always count on walking into the church and the deacon, you know, asking you how your grades were and teaching you how to pray and showing you how to run the offering and cheering you on when you were singing. Those were father figures, and they all were very affectionate. They just really loved us.
That's Deneen Millner. But let's get into that a little bit, because now the norm is, you know, there have been generations, decades of women, and especially, I think, generations of African-American women who are supports in the home. And I think we have this idea still that men should be the breadwinner. Do you think they are carrying some psychological freight from that?
I only laugh at that because when I look around at my daughter's friends and I look at my friends, men are not just the financial support. Most of my women friends also have careers, and they have evolved in the sense that the woman doesn't try to be all things to all people. There is a sharing of what you do in the home. There's no longer a case of, well, I got to take off work because the kid's sick, but he can take off work too. So there's this open conversation. And I look at people like Fred Blankenship, who is on WSB television. He's got three kids, and he's just as involved with his children as is his wife, Paige, but also what they do together in their home shows not only their commitment to each other, but a sharing of the load.
So, Monica, if you were to ask Paige about whether he shares the load at home, what do you think you'd get for an answer?
I think she'd absolutely say yes, because, and here's why I'll say that. She is constantly on Instagram taking her trips. So somebody's watching the kids. And it's Fred.
Oh, get if Paige. Life could only be as it looks like on Instagram, right?
Well, no, but you've got to remember. And see, that I'm going to get you for. Mm-hmm. Because you're saying what you see on Instagram is not all so real. There is a slice of life. But there's also a slice of life that you don't see. Mm. And you shouldn't just look at everyone on Instagram and say, oh, that really can't be real, because then it's a reflection on you.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I mean, as somebody once said, you know, Instagram is like my agent, right? You know, that's how my agent would portray me as having this beautiful life. And we don't, you know, emptying out the diaper genie is not something that makes it onto Instagram.
But it might be on Facebook.
Right. Absolutely.
Well, we are. We're sort of talking a little bit in the binary as a good dad or a bad dad, right? Based on interactions with kids. But the majority of stuff that goes on to raising a child is the work, the stuff that's going on behind the scenes. I'm just wondering, I know a lot of couples, oftentimes the woman says, it is me who ends up, you know, emptying the dishwasher.
And whose fault is that? Whose fault is that? I had a hamper for everybody in my house. So if you didn't have clean clothes, that was your fault. You have to teach people responsibility. And women need to learn, you don't have to be all things to all people. Yes, he will get upset if his dinner isn't done on time. Then he'll learn to cook, because he cooked when he was single.
That was a tough, in a marriage for 20 years here, and that was a tough row to hoe to, you know, kind of shake off those ideas of what my responsibility was in the household and give the evil eye to my partner and say, hey, it is not my, I had to learn how to cook just like you need to learn how to cook. I had to learn how to do this laundry just like you need to learn how to do this laundry. I am just as busy, if not more, at work than you are. It's time for you to carry your load. And so it was about speaking up and saying, hey, this is what I need. And he responded in kind. It's like, oh, okay, my bad. I didn't realize that it, you know, was bothering you or that it was that much of a heavy load. Sure. Okay. I'll chip in. So I think it's a matter of, like Monica said, raising your voice and saying, I need you to step it up.
And to let your kids be involved, right, and learn responsibility early.
Right.
Because if they can't find their shoes, guess what? They'll either go barefooted or they'll find those shoes. Close the door on dirty rooms.
Well, I think we have a responsibility. And I think that what both my co-hosts are saying is that we have to figure out how to set new standards. And it's difficult. I think it's hard enough to just find someone who you're compatible with, much less find someone who you can live with and raise children with. But society is changing. We don't take all of our cues from the media like we used to, or from what we think is the status quo. And we have an opportunity to sort of change the way we see ourselves as women and the way we see our family structure. And I think, you know, it's really encouraging to know that there are so many women who are doing that every day, and we're continuing to evolve, and our children will do an even better job than we did.
I'm newly single. And I am straight up looking the men that I'm dealing with in the eye and saying, I'm not your maid. I'm not your chef. I'm not your, you know, scheduler. I'm not your laundress. Do not count on me for those things. You will do that, and you will do that in your own home. And if for some reason this seems to work out between us, what's going to happen is we're going to share that load, period.
And that's how my dad raised me.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that if my dad did not raise me to be someone's wife, which I kind of felt bad about. I wish earlier in my life, I wish he would have taught me more about what men expect a woman to be. But the truth of the matter is that he wanted me to be free.
Absolutely.
And so he taught me how to be a free woman. And so I'm a single woman. I'm a free woman.
There you go.
That is Christine White. We just heard from Deneen Milner just before that. Okay, we've got about a minute left, but part of this is that if we're changing norms, they start with how we see the world. So when you see a dad alone pushing a stroller or carrying a baby in a Snuggie or whatever those things are called, do you think, oh, that's such a good dad, or do you think, what's wrong with him?
Oh my gosh, I love to see that.
Great.
I do too.
I love to
see.
I mean, I had also a very affectionate father, and I have pains for people who haven't had that experience. My hope is that they will take cues from seeing the guy on the street with the Snuggie, and they'll reach outside of their comfort zone. Even if you weren't raised like that, there you can change and adjust to really be the type of father that you want to be. And I think that we need those examples.
That was Christine White. Also with me, Monica Pearson and Deneen Milner. They are the hosts of A Seat at the Table. And their Father's Day special with Montel Williams airs this Sunday at 6:30 on Georgia Public Broadcasting.